Welcome, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. During the question and answer session of today's call, you may ask a question by pressing star followed by one. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. At this time, I'll turn the call over to Kathy Harbin. You may begin.
Thank you, Shirley, and thank you all for joining us today for the release of a new CDC vital signs. This one is on an international comparison of motor vehicle crash deaths. We're joined today by the director of CDC's National Center for Injury Prevention and Control, Dr. Deborah Howry, and that's spelled H-O-U-R-Y. We will share information about what can be done to prevent these crash deaths and help keep everyone safe and secure on our nation's roads. I'd like to turn the call over now to Dr. Howry.
Thank you, Kathy, and thank you all for joining us today to discuss CDC's Vital Signs report. Each month, we focus on the latest data about one of the critical health issues facing our nation and what can be done about it. This month, our topic is motor vehicle crash deaths and how the U.S. is doing compared with 19 other high-income countries. As the director of CDC's Injury Center, I can say that this is one of our center's priorities and one that we deem to be a public health winnable battle for our agency. As an emergency physician, I have seen firsthand the devastation and impact of motor vehicle crashes on individuals and families. And as a public health practitioner here at CDC, I can share what we know works to help prevent crash deaths and injuries. Each day, about 90 people die from motor vehicle crashes in the U.S. Although significant progress has been made in reducing motor vehicle crash deaths in the United States, we can and must do better in the U.S. using strategies that we know work. The bottom line is, in 2013, the U.S. had the highest rate of motor vehicle crash deaths compared with 19 other high-income countries. Not only that, but all other 19 countries surpassed the U.S. in reducing the number of crash death rates in their countries over a 13-year period. To be more specific, from 2000 to 2013, road traffic death rates in the U.S. fell 31%. While we are happy to see this decrease, during the same time, the average reduction among 19 other high-income countries was 56%. Even when accounting for population size and number of registered vehicles, the U.S. still had the highest rate of motor vehicle crash deaths. If you look at the major factors contributing to motor vehicle crashes in the U.S., the top three are
alcohol-impaired driving, driving at excess speed,
and not using seatbelts, car seats, and booster seats.
In fact, compared with other high-income countries, the United States had the second highest percentage of deaths involving alcohol and the third lowest front seatbelt use.
In the U.S. in 2013, there were more than 32,000 motor vehicle crash deaths, and those deaths cost approximately $380 million in direct medical costs.
It's important to note that one in three deaths involves alcohol-impaired driving, and almost one in three deaths involves speeding. Seeing that other high-income countries are doing better, we know we can do better, too. If the U.S. motor vehicle crash death rate were reduced to just match the average rate of the 19 other high-income countries,
we would have 18,000 fewer deaths and would potentially avert
$210 million in medical costs each year. The findings included in today's vital signs provide critical information to reassess our progress and set new goals. We've studied this issue for decades, and we know it works for prevention. Increasing seatbelt, car seat, and booster seat use, reducing alcohol-impaired driving could have the most effective and immediate impact. For example, we know seatbelts save lives. In 2013, more than 12,500 Americans' lives were saved by buckling up, and yet, not everyone wears their seatbelt or properly buckles their children up on every trip. In fact, about half of drivers and passengers who died in crashes in the U.S. are not buckled up. This is even true for children. 38% of children 12 and under who died in crashes in 2013 were not buckled up. We can do better. As detailed in the Vital Signs report, to keep people safer, states can help amplify evidence-based policy practices and support traffic safety. States can increase seatbelt use with primary enforcement seatbelt laws that cover everyone. Consider requiring car seats and booster seats for children through at least age 8. Reduce drunk driving by using interventions such as ignition interlocks. And consider implementing Vision Zero, a road safety approach that deems death and severe injuries on our roads unacceptable and preventable. Along with implementing effective strategies and programs, each of us can take action to reduce crash deaths and protect ourselves and others. Having just returned from celebrating Independence Day, which happens to be one of the deadliest days on our roads, and as we move into the summer season with vacations and road trips for many families across our country, it is important for all of us to embrace road safety as responsible drivers and passengers. We all should use a seatbelt in every seat on every trip, no matter how short. Make sure children are always properly buckled and in the back seat. Choose not to drive while impaired by alcohol or drugs, and help others do the same. Obey speed limits and drive without distractions. As part of the global community, we play a larger role in worldwide efforts to improve motor vehicle crash deaths. And as the federal government, our responsibility is to track the nation's progress in reducing crash injuries and deaths, evaluate and encourage use of proven programs and policies, collaborate with our partners, including the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the World Health Organization, and provide guidance, resources, and tools to state, local, tribal, and federal partners. It is important to compare us not only to our past, but to our potential. Fewer deaths from motor vehicle crashes in other countries means we can learn from others and do better here in the U.S. to protect the lives of Americans. Reducing deaths on our roads requires efforts from many stakeholders, including public health, transportation, law enforcement, decision makers, as well as individuals. Everyone can do their part to be safe, to keep others safe, and in turn, save lives.
Thank you, Dr. Howery. Shirley, I believe we are ready for questions now.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. You will be prompted to record your name. To withdraw your request, you may press star followed by two. You will be able to ask one question and one follow-up. And again, press star followed by one to ask a question. And one moment, please, for our first question. Our first question comes from Mike Stobie with Associated Press. You may ask your question.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. First, I just wanted to clarify, when we're talking about motor vehicle deaths, we're talking about people who die inside motor vehicles, right? We're not including people, pedestrians, or bicyclists who were hit by cars. Second, I wanted to ask, could you say a little bit more about, you talked about the decline in the United States from 2000 to 2013, the 31%, but it was not as great as the decline seen in the comparison countries. Why was the decline greater in the comparison countries, do you think, even though you accounted for population size and other factors? And I'm sorry if I could sit on one more. If you had broadened the comparison to other less affluent countries, countries in Africa, throughout Asia and other places, would we still be so bad, or how would we stack up against those? Thank you.
Hi, Mike. It's Deb. Great to hear from you. I'm going to turn the first question over to Aaron, and then I will answer your second and third questions. Dr. Sabershot, Aaron is the lead author on this MMWR and is here with me today to answer questions as well.
Hi, Mike. Actually, we included all road users that were involved in a motor vehicle crash in this study. So for the United States, that included, of those deaths in 2013, 64.5% were occupants, so drivers and passengers. 14.5% were pedestrians involved in a motor vehicle crash. 4.3% were motorcyclists. 2.3% were bicyclists. And 4.4% were other or unspecified road users.
And to address your question about what are other countries doing that we could be doing, and it's really doing what we already know that works, but doing it all the time. Other countries have policies that address primary enforcement seatbelt laws for everyone in every seat, so both front seat and back seat, and require car seats and booster seats for child passengers through at least age 8. Other countries have lower blood alcohol concentration levels, and in our country, things we could do to improve impaired driving would be to use ignition interlocks as well as have publicized sobriety checkpoints. With regards to other countries, such as those in Africa, there was a recent paper through the World Health Organization Bulletin that showed variable rates. Part of the issue is we don't have great data on different countries in Africa. Some had lower rates and some had higher rates than the U.S.
Next question, please.
Again, just press star followed by one to ask a question. Our next question comes from Kimberly Leonard with U.S. News and World Report. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. In looking over the data, I couldn't help but notice just a couple of things that kind of stood out for me. First of all, even though they have a lower blood alcohol content, certain countries, I noted in addition that other countries have a lower drinking age, but then they also have a higher age at which teens, I guess, are allowed to drive at all or drive a car. And I was wondering whether that was also taken into account. You know, kids are allowed to drink while they're younger, but they are also not allowed to drive until they're older.
So this is Erin Sauberschatz. I'll address that. So really, it is difficult to tease out the different pieces of road safety because it's a complex issue to really determine which countries put certain interventions into place that really help drive the decrease. For instance, in the United States, we know that we have done a good job in graduated driver's licensing systems for teens. However, motor vehicle crashes are still the leading cause of death among teens, and we know we can still make improvements in graduated driver's licensing here in the United States. Whereas in other countries, they have done more inclusive, comprehensive work in all aspects of road safety. So, for instance, in Sweden, where Vision Zero first originated, they have really focused on speed. So they have traffic calming measures, they have speed cameras throughout their country, and they have really cracked down on all aspects of road safety in order to really try to get towards zero deaths in Sweden.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Stas Ziv with Newsweek. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you for taking my question. Two quick ones, actually. One is you talk about a decrease from 2000 to 2013, but recent data from released by the National Safety Council for 2015 shows that decrease has not continued, that actually between 2013 and 2015, the U.S. has seen an increase in deaths, and I was hoping you might be able to address that. And the other quick question is that same council cites distracted driving, texting, and so forth as one of the top three causes of injury, I believe, or deaths. And I was hoping you could address that as well, how distracted driving fits into this picture.
So this is Dr. Howery. I will start and then turn over to Dr. Sauberschatz to really dive a bit deeper into the data. But I think what we're seeing with the 2015 data is that due to some improvements in the economy and people being on the road more, we're seeing an increase in deaths. I think for me, the takeaway is we can do things even better. If people buckled up 100% of the time, we'd have 3,000 fewer deaths. And if we were able to get alcohol-impaired driving down, nearly 10,000 fewer deaths. So with the number of drivers going up and the number of miles, we need to make sure we're really enforcing and using these proven strategies.
And this is Dr. Erin Saberstadt.
So that increased data came out last Friday from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, or NHTSA, and you're correct. So for 2015, the numbers went up to 35,200 as an estimate for 2015, which is the highest number of deaths we've seen since 2008. However, I would like to say for distracted driving, the contribution for distracted driving is about 10% of fatal crashes and about 18% of injury crashes. And when we say distracted driving, we mean all forms of distraction, not just cell phone use and texting while driving. It's anything that takes your hands off the wheel, your eyes off the road, or your mind off of driving, that's distracted driving. So if you compare that 10% to over about 31%, or a third of the fatalities in the United States being alcohol-impaired driving, you can see that really one of the major risk factors is alcohol-impaired driving. Similarly, we have over 9,500 deaths in the United States due to speed. And then of motor vehicle occupants who die in crashes, so drivers and passengers in vehicles, we have over 9,500 deaths there as well. So really the major risk factors, which is also why we highlighted these in our report, are alcohol-impaired driving, speed, and lack of using seatbelts, car seats, and booster seats.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ran Chang with the Sound of Hope Radio. Your line is open. Please check your mute feature. Ran Chang, your line is open. Go ahead with your question. We'll move on to the next question. That comes from Mitchell Smith with the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Your line is open.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it. I just wanted to check a little bit on this study. When you obviously, the United States is at the top for a number of crash death statistics here. One of the ones I noticed was vehicle miles traveled is incredibly high compared to some of these other countries, as well as the total number of registered vehicles. I was just wondering if you might be able to talk just a little bit about how that kind of weighs into the study, and if that has any sort of an impact on these findings.
Sure. This is Erin Saberstadt. Part of the reason that we calculated the rates both by population and then by 100 million vehicle miles traveled as well as registered vehicles were for the specific points that you pointed out. So the United States is a very large in size and country compared to many of the other high-income countries that we compared. And so by calculating the rates by 100 million vehicle miles traveled as well as registered vehicles, we're able to account for some of the differences between the different countries in their size, number of vehicles, and also the miles traveled. And so you can see that even when accounting for those differences, we still had the highest rate of deaths per population as well as per 10,000 registered vehicles. So really the bottom line is that in the United States, we are not performing as well as other high-income countries that are similar to us in many other aspects. And so we know that there is more that we can do to prevent deaths and injuries on our roads, and we know what works in motor vehicle injury prevention, which is why we're a CDC winnable battle. So we need everyone to do their part to put things into place so that we can save lives and prevent injuries.
Next question, please.
Thank you. And our next question comes from Mike Stovey with Associated Press. Your line is open.
Hi, thanks. I'm sorry for the bonus question, but tailing on to Mitchell Smith's question, I'm glad he brought that up because some experts have said that what's going on in the United States partly is attributable to Americans tend to spend more time in cars, rely on personal vehicles more than people in some other countries, and so more time on the road equals more risk. Are you saying that that measure of motor vehicle crash deaths per 100 million vehicle miles traveled gets at that, or is there some other measure that calculates the chance of death per, I don't know, 100 miles traveled per U.S. individual? And the motor vehicle crash deaths for 100 million vehicle miles traveled, we're not the worst, are we? We're kind of high, but it looks like Japan is highest in some other countries. So if you could just further clarify that.
Yeah, so, Mike, this is Erin. You're correct. So the 100 million vehicle miles traveled, that's typically an indicator that the road safety field or motor vehicle injury prevention field uses to get at the exposure to driving, right? So the more you're on the roads, the more you're exposed, you're exposed to the potential for a crash for longer. So we do take that into account, which is why both CDC and NHTSA typically report things in vehicle 100 million vehicle miles traveled. And then can you repeat the second part of your question? It just slipped my mind.
One moment, please.
I'm not sure. I did just is there another measure that even more is that the best measure we have for accounting for that, or is there some other calculation that's been done that better accounts for if you took 100 miles driven by an American compared to 100 miles driven by a person in France, what the risk is?
Yeah, right, Mike. So yes, that is the best rate that we have to account for that exposure. And the other piece of your question was about Japan. And so the higher death rate in Japan, some of that is that they have a higher number of deaths but a lower vehicle miles traveled, and so the rate appears to be elevated in Japan. And then another thing that I can talk about is in the United States, the difference between rural and urban comparisons. And so we do know that fewer people live in rural America, but a higher percentage of crashes occur in rural areas. So in fact, about 54% of fatal traffic crashes occur in rural areas. Let me rephrase that, traffic fatality. So 54% of people who died in crashes, they died in a rural area versus an urban area.
Thank you. And again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star followed by one. Again, that is star followed by one. And one moment, please, for our next question. Our next question comes from Staziv with Newsweek. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Just to follow up, I wanted to clarify, you mentioned numbers from NHTSA, I believe, that came out for 2015 at about 35,000 people killed on the roads, and that is different from an estimate released a few months ago by the National Safety Council of a little more than 38,000, and also the numbers that the Safety Council has released for sort of estimated major causes of alcohol, speed, and distracted driving are quite different, with alcohol and speed at about 30% and distracted driving at about 26%. And I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about what might account for those differences in numbers and what data we should be relying on. Thank you.
Sure. So I have to guess at the higher numbers that you mentioned. So it was the 35,200 for the estimated number of deaths in 2015 was just released on Friday. And this is the full year estimate that came from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. And previously the estimate was only for the first 9 months of 2015. So the data that came out on Friday are an update of the full year. And I know that the first 9 months, it had been projected about 9.3% increase, and the current projected increase for 2015 is 7.7%. So some of that is variation in having the full year estimated data at this point in time versus the first 9 months. And about distracted driving, so this leads into another topic area that I can briefly discuss. So one of the limitations that we have in motor vehicle injury prevention is high-quality data. So we have better quality data for our deaths than we do for injuries. And a lot of our information comes from police reports. And some of that information is gathered from people at the scene. And so for things such as distracted driving, there will be variations between the numbers based on the source of the data. So is it self-reported distracted driving? So if a person admits to driving while distracted, that percentage could be there. The number that I am speaking out of comes from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration from fatal data, so of people that died in crashes. So there will be variation in the percentage of distracted driving based on the source of the data, depending if it's fatalities, self-reported data. So that can account for some of that variation. And simply, simply stated, we can make improvements in our data, our collection, as well as our linking data in the United States that will provide us more opportunity to better understand not only the fatal crashes but also the non-fatal crashes. So if we have the ability to link the police reports with our hospital data, our EMS runs, and even toxicology, we'll be better able to really understand and research all of the pieces that go into increasing crash risks as well as preventing injuries and fatalities. So we can have improvements in data moving forward.
Thank you.
We have time for one more question.
Thank you, and that comes from Jordan Golson with The Verge. Your line is open.
Follow up on the...
We're not able to hear you.
Oh, sorry. You hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, sorry about that. Just a follow up on your statement about 54% of traffic fatalities occurring in rural areas. Do you have a number for the deaths per 100 million miles in urban versus rural?
This is Erin. I'm looking.
I'm assuming it's going to be quite a bit higher, but.
I don't have that now, but if you contact us, we can and try and find that number that I can share with you.
Okay. And then is there a good source for comparing, because I guess every country is a little bit different in their who you get the numbers from, but is there a good source that we can get all of the numbers on the 100 million vehicle miles, fatality per 100 million vehicle miles for all these countries?
Right. So one of our data sources was the Global Status Report on Road Safety that came out in 2015. That status report is packed with information not only on the high-income countries that we reported on, but really I believe it's 97.5% of the world's population is accounted for in this report. So you can look into the Global Status Report to find more information on all of the different countries. And as well for vehicle miles traveled, there is the ERTAD report as well that you can get information on that. It's the Road Safety Report for 2015. And that's the OECD IRT Road Safety Report for 2015.
Well, I'd like to thank you all for listening to us today, and we look forward to answering any other follow-up questions you may have after this. This is Dr. Howery, and I just wanted to close by saying
what I said earlier in the telebriefing, but that it is really important to compare us not only to our past but our potential. The United States has made good strides in the past 13 years in reducing car crash deaths, but we can do even better through proven strategies such as buckling up, whether you're the driver, the passenger,
front seat or back seat, as well as with children, ensuring they're buckled all the time, reducing impaired driving, and also ensuring that we follow safety limits. These three strategies have the impact of reducing deaths significantly. When we look at other countries and we see the progress they've done, I know that we can do this as well and even better following these proven methods. Thank you.
And I just want to be sure that everyone has the correct spelling for Dr. Saber Schatz's name. It's Erin, E-R-I-N, and it's Saber, S-A-U, B as in boy, E-R, dash, Schatz. S-C-H-A-T-Z, and she is a PhD. Thank you, Dr. Howery and Dr. Saber Schatz, for joining us today, as well as a thank you also to the reporters who've joined us. For follow-up questions, you can call the press office at 404-639-3286 or send us an email at media@cdc.gov. Thank you for joining us. This concludes our call.
Thank you. This does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation. At this time, you may disconnect your lines.